the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable. We're going to talk some NFC divisions and wrap it up as far as getting through the, both conferences as far as where we think all the teams are going to land, first through fourth in each division in each conference. So BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all that shebang, man. And we're going to get to all these other teams. I do have a couple of giant questions to throw out. We'll get through that right now. As you all know, sports is coming to a particularly, I guess you could say, a temporary halt. I would even call it a boycott. I guess they're exercising the rights to not play games, which is fine. It's their American right within the NBA, the NHL, some of the MLB games. I think it might carry over into the NFL until I believe it. You know, they've been on the stance as far as doing their – you could say protest during national anthems, but to actually stop and not play a game altogether, especially that particular sport, the NFL, the football playing once a week, that's going to be a real interesting. So see, even players within our own team are undecided from what I gather, maybe not wanting to play. I don't think realistic Giant fans in particular think we're going to make the playoffs anyway. So if you have a Saquon Barkley, you have a Sterling Shepard who are contemplating sitting out games for social justice, this season was kind of damn near over anyway based off how we looked at the roster. And we're the fans of the team. We're realistic fans, but fans nonetheless. So let's talk about that. And we'll get through the NFC East, the NFC West, the South, North, who and what, where, what's and why's. And by the way, we will be back in 2 weeks. Bump it up an hour because the start of the regular season, we will be back. What date would that be? Well, two Thursdays from now, we will be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll have our preview matchup versus the Steelers, that Monday Night Football game. And we'll talk about, we'll do the pickups like we normally do. So we'll be bumped up an hour because regular season is back. Without further ado, I think this is Carl. I hope all is well, sir. How's everything, man?
Hey, man, what's going on? It's been another crazy, crazy week in the world, man, I got to say.
Yeah, man, it is. Let me ask you this, Carl. You heard me what I just said as far as the Giant players are contemplating sitting out. What is your opinion on, them sitting out and how it's affected the rest of the team? I'm pretty sure you agree that, you support whatever choices they do make, but what is your opinion overall?
Whatever option they do choose would be fine by me. The one idea that I had thought in my head actually, and it didn't play out yesterday in basketball, but it actually played out tonight in baseball. The idea that I kind of had in my head was that throughout the league for the first week. Now, it's going to be a little bit staggered because of the fact that the first game is 2 weeks from tonight. The idea in my head was that similar to what the Mets and the Marlins did tonight is that everybody prepared as if they were going to play. They were in uniform, and they went out, and before the game started, as the position players were out there at their spots, pitchers and everybody else, both teams went out for a 42-second moment of silence in memory of Jackie Robinson. I believe his birthday is tomorrow. But what they did was, after those 42 seconds were over, and there had been talk about whether or not they were going to play this game tonight or not, but after the 42 seconds were up, both teams nodded their hats to each other, and both teams left for their dugouts, and the game was off. Boom. There was supposed to be a game up until 7:10 Eastern time tonight, but at 7:12, after they had done their 42 seconds of silence, both teams went back into their dugouts, and the game was called off. Now, think about this for a second. Oh, wow. Let's say if you did that. Let's say if each of the 32 teams did that the first week of the season. Now, the problem is with this is that the league would have about a would have a heads up because of the fact that two teams go play on that Thursday prior to the Sunday slate of games. Like, if every team was playing at the same time, you would see this. You know, you could play this out in your head as to, you know, imagine having both networks, a game of a slate full of Sunday games, and all of a sudden those, you know, 8, 9, 10 games on Sunday that come on right away, all of a sudden both teams, they go on the field, they do the, you know, anthem. There's no crowd, obviously, that for most of these stadiums this year. And then right after that, both teams decide, you know what, we're just going to head back to the locker room and we're going to boycott the game, or, you know, strike. You know, I wouldn't call it boycott, it's called a strike, but we're not playing this game today. And what the league would have to think about if that possibility exists. It was an idea that I thought about on Wednesday that, you know, for the basketball, where they would do the tip off and then you put the ball on the court and both teams just walked out. But it actually played out tonight in baseball where this happened. And so that idea, you know what? I kind of like it.
I mean, the way I see it, if the NFL was to do it, was to do that, because of all the money, I think there's going to be, I don't know, I really don't know the particular. When I'm looking at it from the angle of, you have companies who buy advertising slots, especially, you know, Sunday football games, you already know, on Fox and CBS, and, you know, they are literally buying up advertising slots, especially during commercial breaks, halftime. That's how a lot of, you know, a lot of money is being made. That's a lot of revenue that the NFL is going to rely on. They budget for things like that. So my whole point is, if NFL players do that, they may have to coordinate even beforehand, probably have to talk about it through it right now for the next couple of weeks. And they will have to get on some sort of accord, because if you do that blatantly without, you know, these companies, corporations that are paying their dollar slots to advertise their business, you know, you're asking for lawsuits. You're really asking for different things that you shouldn't. Now, and I'm not saying the players should or should not do it. I'm different. Like, I'm with you in the sense of, because I have a laissez-faire kind of mentality. Like, if you want to do that, do it. If you want to sit out, sit out. If you don't want to sit out, don't. You know, if you want to play, play. If you want to sit out, sit out. But just be wise about it. Be on the same accord and go about your business. That's kind of how I look at it. So if they, you know, they did that tonight with the baseball, I didn't see it. But, you know, if that's what they decided to do and they coordinated, fine, do it. I don't think baseball is going to be affected as it would be with the NFL games on Sunday. What's your thoughts on that? And then what about the Giants? You know, I know you already have your predictions with the team, if at full strength. So, you know, how you feel about within our team? Are you still? I know you still support them regardless of whatever they do. But what is your thoughts internally for our Giants? And of course, you know, how do you look at the advertising dollars and how the NFL plays that?
I don't think that, I mean, like I said, this is not something that, you know, upper management or corporate, you know, sponsors, you know, this is not something that's going to involve them at all. You know, this is going to have to be a sort of a coordinated thing between both teams going in. Now, the problem is that there's enough players and there's enough staff on each side where this probably gets leaked out. But if it didn't get leaked out, like the first game, like I said, the first game is two Thursdays from now. And like I said, you may not have to have the whole league do this. You know, this is the only that the situation happened tonight, the only game where this happened. So it may just have to be one game, one standalone game. Maybe that the Chiefs game against the Texans might just be that, you just do it that one time and just call it, you know, like that. Like I said, that would shake things up, you know, just in the league. I don't know about society. The society is on its own little thing, on its own, you know, thing right now, and has been for a while. But, you know, that sort of like symbolic message, you know, everybody's waiting for football. And then all of a sudden, you know, 8 o'clock comes up, getting ready for the first kickoff and no football. You know, that sort of like would shake a lot of people, either whether they get angry or not, you know, I'm sure there would be some backlash to it. But, you know, I don't think you can worry about, you know, backlash right now. I think it's a situation where, you know what, there's a very simple request that's being asked. There's a certain percentage of people that are not, you know, or working against that. There's others that are fighting for that. And then, you know, you just sort of let the chips fall where they may. As far as the Giants go, there was something I had seen across my feed today about the Giants potentially sitting out a game. I have to find that story. I don't know what they meant by that in particular. But any decision like that, you know, would have to be, you know, obviously team-wide. And I think what the Giants so far have discussed from what I've been able to, you know, gather this past week is that whatever decision is going to be made, I don't see like 10 guys deciding to sit out. There's something that seems very, what's the best word I can put it? Very off-putting is not the right word, but if it's something that's going to happen, I don't want to see like 40 guys playing and 10 guys sitting. I think it's almost got to be like, listen, either we're all going to do this or none of us are going to do this. Because that way you don't have a situation where guys are being forced to answer questions for other guys and all that. Let everybody, you know, die on the same sword together and then, you know, take the results.
All right, cool. Let's get through the NFC North, and then if we have any additional Giants news, I know we got a new kicker since the last time we did an episode. Woohoo!
We got injuries.
For the North, say what?
We got injuries to talk about. Big injury in the secondary this week with the broken foot with the rookie.
Yeah, what you want? I mean, we could talk about that right now. How you feel about that?
Well, you know, they were projecting him to potentially be a starter, you know, in that lineup, the kid McKinney, and the fact that he's not there, you know, we looked at the secondary kind of going into the year wondering, okay, well, what exactly is this position group going to be like? You know, I know that they've had some, you know, Beal decided he wasn't going to come back. And I think their second cornerback now is it Corey Ballantyne? Do I have this correct? I have to check that. Because there's been different stories floating around about that. I have to check the latest depth chart. But, you know, we've got a situation now where a defense that was already, you know, sort of short, you know, not only short on talent, but, you know, we talked about the secondary last year and potential improvement this season. We thought there was some, reinforcements coming by him. Peppers didn't finish the season last year. None of us really still know how good he actually is. You know, if you told me right now he's an irreplaceable player, I wouldn't believe that. I just think he's just kind of just there. He's just one of those guys. He's not fully an impact player, but he's not a terrible player either. And so all of a sudden you got a position group now where, you know, it was pretty easy to throw the ball against them last year. There's been nothing truly to indicate that that's changing. And so as we get through these next couple of weeks, you just hope, because, you know, one of the things – that we've seen over these last number of years with this team is that when the Giants get injuries, they always seem to get injuries rash at a particular position. it seems that way. And I think maybe last year probably wasn't the year that it really played out this way. But over the last number of years, whether it be secondary or linebackers or offensive linemen or wide receivers, you know, the one game where they had like three or four guys go down for the season, basically, in one shot. Like, we've seen this before. And that's the one thing that you just hope for, that if they don't, you know, get a rash of injuries at any one particular spot.
I mean, it's really unfortunate with Xavier McKinney. It was like, I thought it was a day ago or 2 days ago, whenever it happened. We were banking on him being a high draft pick, as you already know. What he's asked to do to fill in the role for Antoine Bethea. And I think they may just have to pencil in a Julian Love back there at safety or look at the waiver wires and see what other cornerbacks, converted safeties, could go out there and play free safety. But, yeah, this is a big blow. This is somebody who's in Alabama was a very good, a very rangy type of player. Fresh body, low mileage as far as covering the field. And for this defense to work, you kind of need, like you said, you need all the parts. And that's just to keep your head above water. We don't have the pass rush. Linebacker corps, new signal caller. And And just the cornerback situation with DeAndre Baker, you have to fill in that gap. And then, of course, you thought, like you said, with Peppers.
Yeah, I forgot about DeAndre Baker. He slipped my mind. How did you track him out of there as well? We're down to the rookie that drafted and a bunch of other, you know, bunch of other dudes out here.
Yeah. The back end of the safeties, man. I mean, teams are going to be testing this. You saw, as we get later into looking at within our division, the Eagles and the Cowboys, they have speed threats. Whether Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott decides to get them the ball, and if they find a little bit of time, which I believe they can with their offensive lines versus our defensive pass rush, hell yeah, well, our defense is going to get cooked. I mean, I'm going to just be honest. With no McKinney back there, no free safety, I mean, I don't like it. Chances at all. Litt's here. What up, Litt? What's going on? How you doing, man? Carl brought up the Xavier McKinney injury. Any additional Giants thoughts from camp, from what you heard? And we're gonna get to some of these divisions in the NFC. Who finishes first through fourth? Definitely.
Wow, it is so good to be on my favorite football show with my dudes, Carl, Steve. What is going on?
LIT, welcome back.
Thank you. Hey, so listen, you know, our secondary, if you really think about it, between people's personal cases, opt-outs due to COVID-19 and injuries, it is not looking very good as a group in our secondary as of today. I found it very, very laughable that the Giants, either they did or they're entertaining ex-Arizona Cardinal Brandon Williams, who did not play at all last year, is now being thrown into the mix. So it seems like, you know, for our secondary guys, it seems like we're grasping at straws, whether it's Earl Thomas, bringing a third-round pick that was drafted under Steve Keim back in 2016 to put him into the mix. But I don't like what we're doing. We're doing like a mishmash of bringing in, you know, subpar people to put Band-Aids on the real issues kind of going forward.
You know, he's right about that. You know, you see some of these guys that the Giants have been signing, and you just kind of wonder, it's like, are we really bringing in upgradable talent, or are we just replacing, you know, below average players with below average players? That's the impression, right on, spot on.
Like, listen, here's the real quick backstory, guys. Robert Kendici was the first round pick of the Cardinals. Brandon Williams was their second pick, which was their third round pick in 2016. Put Steve Keim on the hot seat, just like our GM could be on the hot seat. Brandon Williams lasted 2 years with Cardinals. I believe when Arians that cut him, and all of last year he's sitting somewhere waiting for a phone call, and he got his phone call. And is that my question to you, and this is a Gettleman question, is that the appropriate thing to do for David Gettleman, to bring in a guy who took an entire year off? Is that low-grade food, medium-grade food, or high-quality food that we're bringing into the organization?
I think he's just trying to strike oil. Now,
that's just stupid, dude.
You're hitting an oil rig. You're hitting it. And you just hope that you just strike it. And now the problem with that philosophy is that you might strike oil, but what I've noticed is that I'm trying. I don't know if anybody else has thought about this. Is that, you know, when we're bringing in these guys, like, for instance, the situation with the defensive lineman that they brought back, his name escapes me right now, Marcus Golden. You know, like, are some of these guys, are we looking at these guys to be the future, you know, being part of this construction of this team that we think in the future is going to be good, or are they just pieces that are just here to just kind of get by for a period of time? Like, that's – I'm trying to, like, build a roster, and I don't feel like I think we're sort of like kind of building, but then we're doing all this extra stuff just to kind of get by.
Well, in the case of Marcus Golden, he was a tender situation. Teams had up to July 22nd to match the offer, the tender offer the Giants put on the table for Golden. And it was, I mean, he, and this was, we're talking about months. So no teams wanted to touch Golden. They didn't want to pay for his services. So that's why he's back with the Giants. So that was more of a tender situation. It was a fair, I thought it was a fair market deal as far as the Giants didn't necessarily need to overpay for him. He's back another year, even though it's with a different D coordinator. But it's not like, I mean, we talked about Golden as far as him being, I guess you could say, a 10 sack guy, but not necessarily. It wasn't really a true 10 sack game. It wasn't really true 10 sacks. It was more about accumulating sacks in garbage time, if you want to call it that. But call it for what you may. He's back, and the organization, Gettleman, is familiar with him, I guess, after a year. So his situation was more about other teams did not want to sign or they didn't want to match what the Giants were offering up until, I think it was July 22nd or 23rd. That's why he's back. So you add him to the depth of the rotation, although it wasn't the other day that David Mayo got hurt too. So he's a guy, like kind of Lit was kind of alluding to, just guys who just, they're just jags. They're just another guy. They'll make okay plays, but they're not necessarily game changers. And the game changer type of guys are the big free agents or your top draft picks that you hit home runs on. And as of right now, I just don't see that with the majority of this team. I think we could be all fair about that. Lit, anything else you'd like to add as far as that? And then we'll sprinkle into some more Giants things, but let's get through these divisions as well.
I kind of just wanted to kind of stay on topic about, you know, the Giants secondary and kind of like the state of flux that we're in. And I'm kind of looking forward to segueing on to the state of the division as well, because it kind of mirrors the Giants, kind of, but not as we seem to get the brunt of it. Some other teams got not as bad as we're at right now. But I look forward to talking about that in coming up in the next segment.
Yeah, we'll sprinkle all that throughout the episode. We'll go through it. We'll get through the North, and we'll get into some additional Giants stuff and so on and so forth. Hey, we'll start with you, Carl. We'll get to the East last. How you feel about the division you're definitely familiar with as far as the teams and how those fan bases act with each other? But this year, who finishes first, second, third, and fourth, and why? And then we'll get to the West, the South, and the East.
Boy, you know, the two teams, the Eagles and the Cowboys, it's, you know, they sort of come at it from two different perspectives from last year. The Eagles had an incredible rash of injuries.
Oh, you want to go to the East?
Oh, shit. I thought you said
I said the North, but we could go to the East.
Oh, North. My mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, let's do the North right now. We can do that. Let's get.
Sure.
Let's do the North, and then let's save the East for last, I guess, since that's our most familiar one. I don't believe the Packers were as good as their 13 and as the record last season. I simply do not believe that. I think if you play that exact same season over a number of times, they don't finish with that record, and unfortunately, I think that there's definitely going to be a regression this season. There's no way they're going to be as good. Problem is, I'm trying to figure out where they're who is making the leap up to sort of even this thing out. Like, Chicago should be better than what they were. The problem is that whether or not Nick Foles is going to be able to take that job, and not only take that job, but then be effective over 16 games when he's not playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Lions, they're the Lions. And then you have the Vikings. Now, the Vikings are interesting because if you just look at them just based on just pure talent, they should be at minimum a 10-win team. And I think they got there last year. They won that playoff game against the Saints. But I think if you looked at it, the Vikings and the Packers are probably about the same. And then at that point, flip a coin between the two teams. I'll take the Vikings this year over the Packers. And then from there, I'll go with Chicago third and Detroit fourth, which would then lead to the coach in Detroit getting fired.
Yeah, all right, cool. What's your thoughts on the NFC North?
Well, you know, I'm going to pretty much fall right in line with Carl. I do want to add a little bit more that I think that we are going to probably see the Packers kind of go on the decline right now. Just with people have left, obviously their offensive line is not the same. They might have some quarterback controversy with the drafting of that quarterback. I don't know where Aaron Rodgers' mindset is going to be. I don't know what his relationship with the head coach is going to be. That is going to be the million-dollar question. As far as them running the division, I think that they are going to be the second-best team. Carl, pretty much, I will, you know, co-sign with Carl. I think the NFC North will be run by Minnesota. Electrifying on offense, a very stout defense. They have the continuity. I don't think they have really any controversies. Everybody is set where they're to be set at. So I think it's going to be a very seamless situation for the Vikings. As far as your cellar dwellers, just flip a coin pretty much between Chicago and Detroit, and we'll just kind of let it, you know, play itself out.
All right, cool. I'll get through the North, and then we can move on and get to some other Giant talk or move to another division. But, you know, I really don't know, man. I'm kind of with you guys on Minnesota, but Minnesota has their issues, too. They all have their issues. When I'm looking at the Vikings, when you traded Stephon Diggs and you drafted the wide receiver from LSU, Justin Jefferson, right, to replace Stephon Diggs, that you just don't fill those shoes quite easily, you know. Defensively, they got rid of players. We all familiar with Linval Joseph, former Giant, and he did quite well in Minnesota, and they released him. Everson Griffin, their pass rusher, they released him. Oh, no, they declined his option, and he ended up going to the Cowboys. So defensively, in their defensive line, is just not as stout as I think or it could be. They have the other guy, Kerrison, but everybody else, man. I mean, offensively, you lose Diggs, you lose the horses in the middle of that defensive line, your edge rusher. I have question marks. Green Bay is, like you said, Carl, like that 13-3 was really, they got really exposed versus the Niners. Do I think they could bounce back? Yeah, but mentally, Aaron Rodgers, do I think he's mentally headstrong to compete after they drafted the quarterback? Is he looking ahead? I don't think he is, but I just think Green Bay kept their core intact. I think I'm a lean Minnesota, but it's not as easy as I think. It's really going to be a tight division. I think it's more of a. I think Detroit's a little bit lurking. I think they're better than. I know they only won 3 games last year, but I really do like their acquisitions. The Okuna, the draft pick was cool. DeAndre Swift at running back was cool, and they allow Amir Abdullah to go to Minnesota. Okarwa and the signing of Desmond Trufant, Danny Shelton from the Patriots. They got some nice pieces. A lot of guys are veteran guys. They added Halavidi from the Eagles. I mean, they got some nice pieces, but the problem is Detroit. Like, do you trust Detroit? You can just never. Oh, wow, Detroit, they know what they're doing. In Chicago, I am like, I don't know, man. That two-quarterback situation, I don't like it at all. Eddie Goldman is not playing. He's been a very good player for them interiorly in the defense. He's out with the COVID. I know they added Jimmy Graham and they added Robert Quinn, who was with the Cowboys last year, to replace Leonard Floyd, who Leonard Floyd is on the Rams now, I believe. So, it's just a lot of moving parts with Chicago. I'm just not buying. And nothing about their quarterback situation scares me. So it really comes down to me. I'm leaning Minnesota. I think they were heading in the right direction last year. They're trending in the right direction last year. And they, you know, ended up running into a hot Niner team. But I'm probably going to go with Minnesota, man. But it's not going to be a runaway like how Green Bay did it last year. I think it's going to be Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. In that order, Carl, anything else you'd like to add? We could go to the West or the South. You could pick a division. You want to go to West, South? Any additional thoughts on the Giants through the camp from what you've seen and so on and so forth? And then we go back to Lit after that.
Yeah, before we go to the South, I was reading yesterday about, and we were talking about this, I don't know if it was the last show or the show before that. It was on ESPN.com by Jordan Renan, where he's talking about Evan Ingram suddenly becoming a player in training camp, which was something that we had discussed as to whether or not he would be finally showing some level of, you know, not awareness, that's not the right word, but, you know, some level of his high talent that we believe that he has. And according to the early reports, that is the case. And if that is so, then that, you know, that would look to be a very good situation for this team, because God only knows they need some receiver to be an you know, explosive weapon on offense. And if Ingram can be that particular player that we all believe, or he looks the part, like we said, you know, can this finally be the year that he's unleashed? You know, we'll see. Because if that's the case, then it obviously portends to be a good thing for us. Obviously, now the other thing on top of that too is, if you looked at the contract market since the last time we spoke, Travis Kelce, George Kittle both got very high end contracts. I believe somewhere in $14 to $15 million a year, and Zach Ertz is apparently supposed to get the contract before the year starts. And so the question that begs is this: if the Giants are in a situation at the trade deadline in October where they can get something of value for Ingram, do they allow that to happen? Or do they just ride it out, pay him whatever the amount that he's owed next season, and just keep riding it out until the end? Or if he's performing at a reasonable enough level to where he's meeting his performance, do you cash in and just go ahead and take what you can and get out of there?
Cash in. Trade him. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you why. Because, and I'll let Lick get some of this, because he's from the Reese draft. He's Reese's draft pick. He may not fit what Jason, I don't look as Evan Ingram as the Jason Garrett offensive, in Jason Garrett offense. I definitely don't. Let me say this another thing. Remember the name Jerome Cunningham, Carl? And this refers to Evan Ingram. Because I think a lot of Giant fans, and I'm not saying you, but I'm just going off the reporters over the years, the decade of this guy at camp was, oh my God, he was wowing the world. Or this guy who's at camp, oh man, the Giants are going to the playoffs, 13-3. He can't be stopped. I can't buy the training camp hype. I got to see it in game action, especially with the NFL, because a lot of these Giant players over the years, these articles, these beat writer type of dudes will overhype and oversell these players as if they might make the Ring of Honor. And then when they get on the field, they don't do shit. Corey Washington.
Remember?
Another
Corey, remember, I was thinking, Corey Washington was my favorite. That was about five years ago. He was the star at camp. I remember even during the preseason games, he was making plays. And then I think at one point in the season, the Giants had some receiver issues. And it was like, I think he's still like fifth string. And people were like, how come he can't get on the field? And he never really got on the field.
And this is why I do miss preseason. I know a lot of people, and I'm going to get his thoughts, and then we'll get to another division. But this is the reason why I miss preseason. I know a lot of fans say, oh, preseason don't count. They don't play long. Like, this is the time. This is even the time of year you could evaluate. You could just look at game film at guys who might have a chance, and you could say, "Oh, okay, this guy definitely got it. He performed." This is the reason why we love number three. Number three was Victor Cruz in the preseason. He balled out versus the Jets. He balled out to the point Rex Ryan was coming to Tom Coughlin saying, "Man, that number three guy, he looked good." I mean, I remember that scene in preseason so vividly, like. He could not stop making plays. You had to put him on the team. That's how much he was balling. Like, you didn't need guys writing articles to believe it. Like, you watched the preseason games. Like, yo, this guy can play. So, yeah, the answer to that, man, I believe it in game one. But as far as Evan Ingram's stock, I believe it. I believe it when we'll get a stock and we'll trade him. Look, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, I am so glad Carl brought that up. I mean, it's kind of off topic, but it's on topic. So check this out. The Giants have a major decision to make with Evan Ingram. We know that Kittle got paid, and we know that Kelce got paid. So I kind of was looking at some money breakdown there, and I'm hoping, honestly, that Ingram has a good year because he's going to probably want between $12 and $16 million per year with his contract. I hope he balls out. The Giants have to move on from him. And there's more than just, you know, he's a fan favorite, everybody likes him. They got to start preparing for the Saquon Barkley extension. Now, I know that's going to be down the road, but I'm comfortable with trading Ingram if he balls out by the trade deadline. I don't feel comfortable with him. If Jason Garrett is going to be on year two, I don't feel comfortable more seeing him in the Giants' offensive sets with how Garrett likes to run his tight ends. I would be totally fine to trade him and not absorb what he is going to ask for as a tight end on the open market that we're going to have to get stuck with. And I want to lastly say, this is a conversation for another time, Buda Baker just got paid the other day. Jabril Peppers is going to be right around that neighborhood, if not more. That's going to be another situation to deal with this coming off season.
And you know, Steve, and let's pick up on that. Mm-hmm. The one thing that the Giants cannot do is put themselves in a situation where they're paying guys, you know, top dollar, and they're still basically a team that is hovering at 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, and then right around the time that the quarterback is due money. Like, you can't have that. That is not if they get into that situation, which at this they would have to be at this point by next season. If they're at a point where they're paying four or five different dudes, you know, top dollar, before they've paid the quarterback, and they're still a mediocre team, then they're basically setting themselves up for failure for the next, you know, 5-6 years on top of what they're already going through right now.
That's exactly why I say trade them. Exactly why I'm saying trade them. For the exact reasons you guys are saying it. Build them up because you know you got paydays for other guys who are going to be more productive. So you could get what you get from him right now. That's how I look at it. I mean, it's just that simple. So, yeah, I'm on the same page with Lit as far as trading him. Absolutely. Build his stock up and ship him away. Get something back. Get some picks for him or something. Because if you're going to be – if we're projected, and even through this year, even next year, to be a 7-win team, 6-win team on average, what's the point of paying all these guys when you're not going nowhere? Trade them. Get something back. You get a cheaper value. Let's go to the West. Let's go to NFC West. This division was really, oh man. I mean, it seemed like every month it changed. Like who I thought would be your favorite, Carl. Who you got as far as Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, Niners? Like, who do you first through four, and then we'll get to Lit as far as the West, and we'll get to the South after that.
I think the Niners have the best roster in the NFC. I thought they had the best roster in the league going into the Super Bowl, but they didn't win the Super Bowl because of Mahomes and what he did in that fourth quarter. But from top to bottom, you know, the roster is really, really solid without a lot of holes in it. You know, they can, you know, if they need to pass the ball for 300 yards, you know, they did that against the Saints and they scored 45 points. If they need to just run you right out of the building like they did against the Packers, they can do that. Defensively, once they get the lead, and in most cases, they can just turn up the defense and their defensive line just, you know, against most offensive lines, if you're not, you know, playing against Mahomes, you get after the quarterback. And unfortunately, it didn't play out in those last 8 minutes of the Super Bowl last year, which I thought they should have. You know, they were, until that happened, until those like last 8 minutes, they were playing a just tremendous football game. Now coming back the year, you know, 1 year later, how does everybody react to the expectations? You know, the 49ers were not expected to be a big time team last year. They're going to be expected to be that this season. So from that perspective, I do wonder a little bit about that. I don't think they'll be as affected in that way where all their thoughts are on that loss in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to pick them to win the division. The next two teams between Seattle and the Cardinals. I'm bumping the Cardinals up. I believe that there is going to – I'm on the Kyler Murray train where the Cardinals make a huge improvement. I believe that. And I think that that would set themselves up to be a second-place team this season. I'm not totally sold on Seattle. I know that they've been very resourceful. I know that they've made a few additional changes. But I feel as if Seattle would be better if they passed the ball more. And for whatever reason, the coach Wilson's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I kind of think he is. But he doesn't put the ball in his hands enough. And I think that's costing them right now. And they might be able to make the playoffs like they did last year and the year before that. So I'm not going to say that they're not going to make it. And with the extra playoff team this season, you can. But I think there'll be a tie between Seattle and Arizona. And then the Rams, I love McVay and I love those guys. But something, the running game, I'm not totally sure about. The quarterback last season, stunned me in terms of his regression. But part of that was because their offensive line was so bad that it affected them. The defense is okay, but somebody – that's the most balanced division in the league this season, the NFC West. And so someone's going to have to finish last. And I think 8-8 might be bad enough where you finish last in that division this season. And is 8-8 terrible? No, but someone's going to probably finish it this year, and I think that might be the Rams. And unfortunately, they got the short end of the straw.
So I know, before we go to Lit, have you been watching Hard Knocks? Are you a fan of Hard Knocks? The series they've done on HBO for years? What's your thoughts on that? You got the Rams and the Chargers.
I saw the first episode where they were doing, the sort of like the introductory to camp where everybody was sort of wearing the mask. I've not seen the last couple. I could probably binge watch that this weekend just to kind of see where things are progressing, because I have not watched much training camp stuff on television really at all, for the most part, outside of just a couple things here and there. But in terms of the amount I would have consumed in the past compared to how much I've consumed this season is down about 95%. So from that, for obvious reasons. But I think, just to give us, set aside 2 or 3 hours and just see what both the Rams and the Chargers have been doing as they get ready for the season. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I did, like you, I saw the first episode. I purposefully did not see the last two because I'm going to hold off. And I got it recorded. I'm going to go ahead and watch those maybe this weekend to give me something to watch. I actually, I'm a fan of Hard Knocks. I don't know where Lit stands with it. And I know we've had this conversation over the years on this platform, and a lot of Giant fans were not a fan. I wish most teams did it so we could actually get a real raw perspective on how you see these guys on camera. Because I really believe, like, with the NFL players, it's kind of like scripted. They give these politically correct answers when they're being interviewed for the website, the team website. I like the the real uncut view of the teams just doing what they normally do and how they converse and how they go through the organization, the doctors if they get hurt. They even had the COVID situations in the episode one as far as how they treated that. Terrell Lewis, the outside linebacker, when he got diagnosed. I like that. I like that versus, you always watch the NFL Network and you get the same over and over redundant. Is Ben Roethlisberger going to have a good season? No, he's going to get hurt. Next question. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. Lynn, what's your thoughts on the West? And are you a fan of Hard Knocks as well?
Oh, man, Hard Knocks is the shit. I mean, listen, the biggest thing that I learned out of Hard Knocks is to socially
distance yourself from shitting in a porta potty. You don't shit in the porta potty left on the field.
Right. I saw that.
You remember that?
Oh,
movie? Anyway.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. That was hilarious. Don't shit in the porta potty. So, you know, anyway.
Don't shit in the porta potty.
I like it.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, no, it's a good show. I think there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of obviously it's like a scripted show to a certain point. Everybody's all mic'd up. They know they're mic'd up. But I thought they really did good because they really showed how they are protecting themselves from the COVID-19 with the social distancing, the testing, the emphasizing on wearing your mask, spread out, this, that, and the other. It's cool. Let's hit on the NFC West. I agree with Carl that the 49ers do have probably the best roster in the West. But I will say that the best quarterback in the NFC West is Russell Wilson, hands down. Russell Wilson, any way you look at it, with whatever Pete Carroll has for him as far as players, he will make it happen. I don't want to sound like an Arizona Cardinals homer, but I do want to say that be very careful with Cliff Kingsbury's high-powered offense. DeAndre Hopkins is here, him, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Kenyon Drake in the backfield. I'm not trying to sound like a Cardinals fan. I just enjoy football, and I watch the shit out of it. Don't sleep on the Cardinals. They've made some acquisitions. They've got some injured players coming back. They're going to have a better, solid offensive line with healthy people and their draftees. They got a philosophy that the team – Arizona in general is buying in. As far as the Rams, they just got they have a sexy look, but I don't see them really going anywhere. They do have some really good pieces, but I don't see them as competitive with the San Francisco. I don't see them I honestly see them probably, again, flip a coin between them and Arizona to run the cellar. You know, your top two teams is going to be, you can flip-flop them if you want, is going to be Seattle and San Francisco, or San Francisco and Seattle, and just flip a coin for third and fourth. The NFC West is going to be very exciting, Steve, and I will just leave it at that. It's going to be a very exciting conference to watch if you like football.
I agree, man. I'm going to be watching a lot of NFC West. You guys are hitting the nail on the head with the NFC West because I'm taking a different route. I was going to go with Seattle, and I understand all the points with the Niners. You got to respect their balanced roster. You know, I am a little proponent of the Super Bowl hangover. I think they got a little bit of that in them. I think they do. I think some of the moves they did in the offseason when Joe Staley retired and they got Trent Williams on draft night when they traded for him from the Washington football team, and no longer the Redskins, the Washington football team. Well, actually, they were the Redskins at the time. So they were from the Redskins, now the Washington football team. And then they ended up trading DeForest Buckner to the Colts. They just, you know, like Carl said earlier, Kettle got the extension, so he's good to go. And they ended up getting draft picks out of the Marquise Goodwin trade. They didn't really have a lot of upgrades or downgrades. They just, the roster, most of the roster outside of a couple of trades is still there. I like what Seattle did, though. Because most of this summer, I would have said, The Niners are a first-place team in the NFC West. But I think I'm buying the Jamal Adams trade, and I'm buying what they did with adding Greg Olsen. I know he's up there in age, and I think that's what Russell Wilson loves. He loves a tight end like Greg Olsen. They brought back Luke Wilson on top of that. That's a nice duo. Bring in Philip Dorsett from the Pats. Like these guys, like this is a nice depth as far as DJ Metcalf had a decent season last year, had some good big catches versus Philly. And what's his name? The other guy, the other wide receiver, Lockett. Like nothing that wows you, but they got guys that could just play good football. And then the running back attack, I love the trio, man. I love Rashad Penny. He had a big game versus Philly in the playoffs or in the regular season. We had Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde. You know what Russell Wilson, like Litt said, he's the best quarterback in the West. I'm gonna buy what the Seahawks is giving us, man. I'm with you, Carl, or Litt, as far as the Rams. The Rams, they lost a lot, man. They traded guys away. Offensive line, Whitworth is older, and they brought him back. Just something. I'm even watching the Hard Knocks. There's something about this team that is just missing. They just. I know they got the wide receiver from Florida that they drafted because they replaced Brandon Cooks, but nah, man, I'm not feeling the Rams, man. I'm really not. The Cardinals are going to be one of those teams that I think their peak is two, but I think they'll finish in third. But Carl, what's your thoughts on the South, NFC South?
The Saints had an unfortunate situation last year in that playoff. Now, it probably should have been expected. You know, the last couple of times, the Saints have had these, very good seasons just sort of cut short by just, terrible playoff results. Like, think about the last, 3 years now of being a Saints fan. You've lost in the last second on that Minnesota miracle. You have the game the year after that where the pass interference that should have been called wasn't called. And then last year, you lose a playoff game at home to Kirk Cousins? like those are three just rough years. Imagine if we had those three years of rough playoff losses back to back like that. And so it's fair to wonder what comes of them this season. The talent is still there. Now the one thing that is becoming apparent is, and I wonder how it's going to play out this season, is that Breeze. You could see that there was a little bit of what's the best word I can use? A little bit like he was on the downside of his career the last five games of the season. Like he wasn't the same, whether it be arm strength, something just was not the same with him the last few games. And then in the playoff game, he just did not play. I just didn't think he played well at all. He couldn't push the ball down the field at all with any velocity, and that was. Compared to if you watch the game from him from the first game of the season and then watch what he did in the playoff game, they look like two different guys. And so I wonder, if he's lost some strength in his arm. And, I know that they've been designing the offense in such a way where he doesn't have to, push the ball past, 15 yards down the field. But I feel at a certain point, perhaps Breeze at his age might be actually at the point where, it might just be time to go. It just might be that time. And perhaps Taysom Hill becomes a guy that I think they resign him. He did get resigned. He becomes a guy where he gets more playing time in these games. I know it's not the fashionable NFL-y thing to do where you say, okay, I'm gonna, have my second quarterback come in the game for, 20% of the snaps. But I feel like there might be he's gonna have to be managed in such a way to get through what the Saints would expect to be 20 games if they try to win the title, or 19 games if they get a bye week to pull this off. But, defensively, they're solid. Offensively, they still have the talent. But something is not there. I'm not picking Tampa Bay to overtake them. I think that people might be overbuying on Tampa a little bit. And I want to – that's their only competition in that division. Nobody else matters. It's them and the Saints. And I'm going to take the Saints by a little bit here.
I agree with you, man. And your eyes do not deceive you about Drew Brees. I talked to a lot of Saints fans, like some relatives down there in Louisiana. We've had this conversation because they say the same exact thing you just said. Like, Drew Brees is regression. He is. Athletically, his arm strength especially is just not the same. This deep ball in that game versus the Minnesota Vikings is just there's no mustard on the ball, man. It happens with older guys. He's older. He's late 30s. It is what it is. They did try to bulk up the line with drafting Cesar Ruiz from Michigan. I can respect that. I like that move. And you brought up Taysom Hill, and then also Jameis Winston is going to be the backup, bringing in Emmanuel Sanders and putting him opposite of Michael Thomas, veteran, a guy like Malcolm Jenkins who was there before. Amietta was a very nice signing at defensive tackle with Sheldon Rankins. So I think the Saints are going to be fine to win that division. And I'm like you, Carl. To me, Tampa Bay, because we all know about Gronkowski, Tom Brady. You know, the big signings, Dominic Sue. I mean, there's some nice, well-known names that we're all familiar with. It's, to me, it's kind of almost like the Cleveland Browns situation. Now, don't get it twisted. I am not comparing Baker Mayfield to Tom Brady. I'm not doing that. But the hype behind the Buccaneers is that overselling stuff. Everybody's on the bus. I really believe in that. When people oversell it, they're not going to pan out to what they really are. So, yeah, I think the Bucs are going to finish in second. And I'm with you. Flip a coin between – I think the Falcons may get past the Panthers for third. But the Falcons – losing Vic Beasley and adding A.J. Terrell to replace Trufant, who went to Detroit. Todd Gurley there – I don't think he's up there, but, you know, he has his injury history. But I do like Dante Fowler on their defense. And I would put, you know, that Hayden Hurst trade – you know, he had a nice season with Lamar Jackson last year. There's some nice pieces, just not enough to overcome the Bucs. And the Panthers, I think they're really, you know, the new head coach, they're really rebuilding down there in Carolina. I really do. Last division, Carl, we got like two more minutes, but the NFC East, your thoughts, who finishes first, second, third, and fourth? How you figure or your thoughts on the East?
I'm going to take the Cowboys to finish first. They should have won the division last year. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. I know they had some bad breaks there. The Eagles will make the playoffs. I do believe that. These two teams are far and away better than any other team in the division. Washington will figure their way out. The Giants are going to have their struggles as they try to maneuver through the new coach and defensive deficiencies as we've been talking about earlier. So Cowboys and Eagles will fight it out. The final two teams will be picking top 10 in the draft.
Yeah, I wrestle with who's going to finish in third because I think you're right. Yeah, we are a platform that supports the Giants because we're fans of the Big Blue, but we're realistic. Yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to win the division. I really believe that. They're probably going to be they might get a bye. They might. But they struggled last year, but different head coach. Mike McCarthy's there. The nice, you know, CeeDee Lamb, and I mean, they got weapons on offense, man. And then the nice, you know, Tyler Biadasz from Wisconsin to replace Frederick. I mean, they filled in the nice pieces. When guys left, they filled it in nicely. I don't have no. The Eagles, I think, are a better roster than the Giants. And I just don't know. The question, you could really have a debate who's going to finish in third, Giants or the Washington football team? That's a real debate. I like the Redskins defense front seven way better than anything we got. So yeah.
Oh no.
Hey, I know they
no
lost.
Question.
You know, Darius Geis is gone. Go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead. I agree with you.
No. I was saying like Darius is. I was kind of surprised about the Darius Geis being released from the Redskins. I know he had the ACL injury, but he just got there like a couple seasons ago in the draft. And Thaddeus Moss, but and Jordan Reed's no longer there. But their offense is really bad, but their defense is better than anything we got, so we could have a real debate who's going to finish in third. Final thoughts from you, Carl, man. It's great talking as far as the Giants to camp. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but your final thoughts?
You know, final thought on this case, you know, there was a story I was reading about, and there's been actually a lot of talk the last week or two about the coaching methods of Joe Judge and the idea that the fans and media and certain precincts need to, quote unquote, give him a chance. And I've been kind of struck by this sort of idea because the reason why he is being profoundly criticized in certain circles is because there is a belief that he is not qualified for the job based on the way he got it. That is the reason for the criticism. Now, those out there can say, well, he learned from this guy and he learned from this guy, but the circumstances behind him being hired were very suspicious. I was one of those people that said that at the time, regardless of his past, upbringings coming up through the league. And unfortunately, we've been sold the bill of goods by a lot of folks previously, as recently as the last coach, where we were told that, you know, give Shermer a chance, give Shermer a chance. It took about two games for us to figure out that he was a dope. And basically, we were correct about a year and a half later after that. So I think a lot of us are first guessing what's happening here. We're very, very conscious of past Giant failures And that is why he's being criticized at the level that he's being criticized at.
Yeah, we'll get to see on Monday Night Football. We'll discuss that. We have the preview episode in 2 weeks at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, or right before Thursday Night Football. We go back to our normal regular season time slot to discuss games around the league. We'll have our pick-ems. We'll have the matchup versus the Steelers. Carl and Definition of Lit, Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the weekend. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it?
Be safe out there.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.